Madam Speaker, let me take this opportunity to apologize to my honorable colleagues for my absence. I inform Madam Speaker that I was attending a funeral of those two young ladies who died in this tragic accident on Easter Sunday. I had to pay my last respects. Madam Speaker, I really cannot stand here to say that I am in support of this budget. I can't. But rather, Madam Speaker, I would say that I rise in support of an assiduous endeavor by this administration at repairing the financial mess this country found itself in, created by the former Minister of Finance of the last administration. What do I mean? Madam Speaker, I will attempt to show the nation exactly what I speak about. Because, you know, the records are there, the facts are there, they cannot be disputed, and they are not, Madam Speaker, figures of conjecture or imagination. Madam Speaker, I have included in my statistics that of 1996-1997, the financial year before the last administration took office, to show the country, Madam Speaker, the exact financial position in St. Lucia was and how St. Lucia was left bleeding financially in a quagmire almost impossible from extrication. I see my friend with his hand on you.
Honourable Member for Castries East.
Madam Speaker, would it please the Honourable Member if he would quote the source of the statistics? What was the source?
Oh, definitely, definitely, Madam Speaker.
Where it came from, and would that document be a document of ours?
Honourable Member,
Madam Speaker, let me just see. Whilst I would respond to my friend, and I will answer, I will let him know. Those figures are easily verifiable, Madam Speaker, because for all those figures except the first, he sat in this very House of Assembly. He sat right here. And Madam Speaker, let me indicate to this Honorable House that each and every Member of Parliament ought to be, or at least those who have been there, like my friend who asked for the source, would have the economic reviews going back to 1996-97. All the figures are in there, Madam Speaker. And I said, Madam Speaker, those are not, they didn't come out of my imagination, Member for Castries East. So, Madam Speaker, Samwe vle diya, mweme nese figa pou tout setlisye we, pou yo we kiman ye, pe ya te ye, an 1996-97, e kiman ye, denye administrasyon ki te pe ya. That's what the figures are, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let us look at the first year, 1996-97. In 1996-97, Madam Speaker, our recurrent revenue was $386 million. Let me see if I could do a bit of teaching here, Madam Speaker. Yes, the PowerPoint works? Yes, it does. Right. 1996-97, recurrent revenue, $386, recurrent expenditure, $351. Now, let us check, Madam Speaker, how much we paid annually in loans and interest. In loans and interest, Madam Speaker, we paid $21,657,786.70 annually, the total of loans and interest repayments. It is for that year, Madam Speaker. At that time when they came in, Madam Speaker, the percentage of loan payments was 6.6%, Milila. It's right there. 6.16, Madam Speaker. And our national debt was 597. Our debt to GDP, 36.9%. Those are facts, Madam Speaker. I was nowhere around politics. I didn't make up those figures, Madam Speaker, and I'm guided by the records. You know, one man who called me, an aggressive non-performer, said the records are there. But the records are there. I will deal with that aggressive non-performer a little later. But the records are there, Madam Speaker. What our national debt was, 597. How much we paid every year, 21 million. What percentage it formed of our recurrent expenditure, 6.16. And our debt to GDP was 36.9%. Madam Speaker, hold on. Madam Speaker, yeah, because of the cost overrun on the road leading to Soufre. We'll come to that.
Member, please.
Sorry, Madam Speaker.
Please.
You know, an assiduous attempt is being made to derail me, but your humble servant shall proceed.
Well, please don't make yourself weak.
Madam Speaker, the Minister of Finance under the Labour Administration had the opportunity of presenting 10 budgetary estimates to this Honourable House. And let us look at them. 1997-98 up to 2006-2007. Can you, yes. Right, he started at 97-98 and he went on to 2006-2007 was his last. Very good. I would venture to say, Madam Speaker, that it is only in the first four recurrent revenue exceeded recurrent expenditure. Only in the first four of his budgets, recurrent revenue exceeded recurrent expenditure. Jacek Lisi, Samakadia, Sesele, la paye a te sa paye pou detli, sa e komitman, se poumye katlane a, because paye a te bel. Denye sislane a, the last six, madam, in fact, the last budget in this Honorable House, we had a shortfall of almost $80 million. Now, Madam Speaker, let me just say, Madam Speaker, we were not in a position for our recurrent revenue to take care of our recurrent expenditure. It is right there. It means, therefore, Madam Speaker, for the last 6 years, for the last six budget presentations by the Labour Administration, the government was not in a position to pay the teachers, the nurses, the firemen and civil servants unless money was borrowed to meet recurrent expenditure. Madam Speaker, it started in 2001, 2002. The estimates then, Madam Speaker, of 2001-2002, revenue was estimated at $520 million, Madam Speaker, 2001-2002, and expenditure at $494. The actual fact is, Madam Speaker, $449 million was collected. So from 2001, 2002, 2003, 2003-2004, 2004-2005, 2005-2006, 2006-2007, the Labour Administration had to borrow money, Madam Speaker, to pay their commitments.
Madam Speaker, I really don't want to do that. And I want to... I really don't want to do that, Madam Speaker. I really don't want to do it. But it's very genuine, Madam Speaker. The member... And I respect what he's saying. I don't want to disturb him. I really need to find the source of the information. Because, Madam Speaker, these are serious allegations.
Madam.
And if he's quoting from the Social Economic Review, I have one of them here. I really need to know that, honestly, from my own... I need to know. But where is the
then, Madam Speaker, all... Madam Speaker, can I undertake to make those documents of the House tomorrow morning? I can do so. The source is the economic review and the budget estimates. All of them are in the budget estimates. So don't tell me, you member for Castries East, that your last budget, you didn't know that recurrent revenue was 621 and expenditure was 700 billion. I sat in that budget. I sat here when I indicated to the government that they have to borrow money every week to pay workers. I sat there. And those are documents that have been circulated in the House, Madam Speaker.
These are documents of the House. Shall we continue? Shall we continue, members? They are already documents of the House.
They are documents. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
So let us continue.
Good. So, Madam Speaker, I was saying, 10 years, Madam Speaker, 10 years they spent in this House. 10 years they presented estimates. For the first four, they were able, because they took it when it was good, they were able to pay off recurrent expenditure with recurrent revenue. For the last six, the Minister of Finance had to go borrow money to pay our commitments. That has nothing to do with capital expenditure, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as our national debt escalated, our ability to take care of our own annual commitments lessened and lessened. In fact, Madam Speaker, as we can see, when our national debt rose to $1 billion in 2001, 2002 or thereabout, Crapo smoked our pipe. Could you show me national debt, please? Good. Right. It got to, in 2001, 2002, it rose up to $1,076,000,000. And it was from then, Madam Speaker, that the country started going down the drain. It was then our recurrent revenue could not take care of our recurrent expenditure. Ça t'a accordé les sept Christians. Ou qu'à toi vaille pour $1,000 par mois. But c'est pas au caillou qu'a fait ça. Like Bilou, Louis Ayou et ti commission cabinet 1200 goud. So tous les mois, just pour être vivant, ou pour pas la bonne motoka, ou pour pas la bonne caille, just pour être vivant, on est pour prêter $200 tous les mois. The figures are there. I didn't make them up. So, Madam Speaker, it really grieves and infuriates me when I hear a man calls the talk show and he says, the government got a surplus of $60 million. Where did we get it from? When our last budget, Madam Speaker, when I sat in the opposition chair, I took that $80 million and I broke it down into a weekly allocation. And I was able to come up with the figure of about $1.6 million every week to pay our commitment. That was the last budget of the St. Lucia Labour Party. And a man is opening his mouth and talk about we get surplus. Surplus what? I wouldn't say he's a liar. He does not know better. And he has been brainwashed. But what people need to do is to speak from a standpoint of authority and get the facts. The facts are there. Madam Speaker, our national debt rose from $597 million in 1996-97 to $1.8 billion. National debt nous, yo point, le nous ka paye $21,000 par mois. Le yo quitte, nous ka paye yo $158 million par mois. Par l'année, sorry. You know, yearly commitments, Madam Speaker, let's look at them. The yearly commitments in terms of a dollar figure, Madam Speaker, my friend is going to do his research. I'm glad I sent you to do it. Good. Our annual payments, Madam Speaker, on the debt, we were paying a little $21 million a month, a year. That is what the country could have afforded. I don't want to say Keynonomics. I will never say so. Alva, you're my friend. And that is your word. So I shall leave you with your word. But, Madam Speaker, we moved from paying $21 million a year. And when the administration left, we had to pay $158 million. Show the figure. Yes, right there. Yes, Now I ask them to put our performance in yellow and the other one in red. Look the yellow for you, from 21 a year to 158 million a year. 100. And that, those are facts. I didn't make them up, people of St. Lucia. I did not make them up. So when people are calling the talk shows, they must be well informed that the Minister of Finance under the last administration, he placed a bill of an extra $137 million a year on the government and people of this country. I didn't say it. It is there, Madam Speaker. It is there. Now you know, Madam Speaker, what is hurting. I don't mind you incur debt. When you incur debt, you need to get a value for money. And when you, once you pass your capacity to pay, you must, Madam Speaker, create revenue streams. You have to. You must create new revenue streams. When the administration came by Tebel, look at that, from 36.9% debt to GDP to 67.4 whatever percent. It's right there. 67.6% debt to GDP. Sa sa vle di ma ma ketri si. Se siye tout bagay ou ka fe, ou ka fe yon mil dola. An mil dola sa, 676 dollars out of that 1,000 is your debt. No, 67 cents to the dollar. To the dollar. Thank you, Mr. Mathematician. You're a good man. Good. 67 cents of every dollar, Madam Speaker, represents what our debt situation is. And you know the worst thing, Madam Speaker, that was done without the creation of one revenue stream. In fact, we had three. We had tourism, manufacturing, and agriculture. They kill two. They slaughter two. You two are dead. Like you can tell me, like me that three, but they are going to pass. It's right there. I didn't make it up. Yes, we pass. I said that's enough. Pour te gars bayo bouy vete breadfig all of us nous ca dibouy toi mettez yo 158 breadfig là même doa bouy ça ca casser ba il ca casser ya ba il ca casser ba aba chaisa. And that is what has happened. I didn't make the figures, they are there. Madam Speaker, when the Labour Party took over again, only 6%, 6.16 went to expenditure. Today, every 22.66 cents we make has to go and pay debt, Madam Speaker. And then you want to come and talk about lavish spending. You know, Madam Speaker, let me explain that to the farmers. Monsieur Farmer, imagine, on y a ti acte qui a produit second breadfi. Sell ça ou ça. Ou ça afford a less second boy six dollar, c'est yoti for wheel drive. Bon, nous c'est si femme, mais nous point femme là avec nous bail ti boy nous. Ça ti boy nous fait? Il peut compléter prix figou ça. Mais acheter caille, il achète motoka, il fait caille bail femme, il achète motoka, allez même second boy six là. No new revenue stream, but debt. Debt, debt. How can we ever find ourselves in a good position? So when I hear about wastage, Madam Speaker, the dime all, you know, I have to laugh. Let me let St. Lucians know that not one penny of taxpayers' money has been invested in the purchase of the dime all. Get, you see, that's the problem with you guys. Get your facts. Get your facts. When you get your facts, you are in a position to open your mouth. You know? You all just open your mouth sending emails all around. Foolishness. I don't have time for that. You know? In fact, Madam Speaker, in 2001, 2002, the country suffered from a 4.5% negative growth. Wait. In, put it up, my boys. In, it's right there. You ask me why I get it. St. Lucia data shit. Come to the bottom for me, please. Ask me why I got it. Why I got it? So put it in the middle and zoom it, please. Zoom it, zoom on it, zoom on it. Sorry, I'm getting... Yeah, go there. Growth, yeah. Show, okay, this is... Go up, please. Growth. No, I mean down. Sorry. Growth. Why is it growth? Okay, rate of growth. Go across. -4.57 in 2001-2002. I did not make it. Laissez Christian a dit ça ça veut dire. Si ou te ka misiwe 100 inch. OK? Yo coupé des pieds ou. Et yo dou grow. You are measuring 100 inches. They cut your feet by 4.57 inches and Kenyonomics say you grow. That is what it means. That is what it means, Madam Speaker. 4.57 negative growth. So, Madam Speaker, you know...
Excuse me, Honourable Member. Yes, Honourable Member for Sufre.
Madam Speaker, as a point of elucidation for me to understand the figures a little better, I would honestly like the Minister to show us the continuation of what he's talking about in terms of economic growth. Specifically, the growth from 2005, 2006, and 2007, so I can put the negative 4.57 in context. Thank you.
When Mr. Dalso will make his best, the member for Sufre, I extend pleasantries in that manner and move away sometimes from the protocol of this house. But when the member from Sufre, in fact, you are at liberty to ask your friends, your colleagues on the other side, to get the continuation for your good self. So it is there. I did not make the figures, St. Lucia. That is a fact. I didn't make those figures. The figures are there for all and sundry. So, Madam Speaker, when I hear about wastage, it grieves me. It is interesting to note, Madam Speaker, like I said, the last presentation, budget presentation, there was a shortfall of almost $80 million. Can you show right? Can you show the 2006-2007 right? Look at this, Madam Speaker. 2006-2007, recurrent revenue was 621. Recurrent expenditure, 700 million. Yet, somebody calls the talk show and say we got surplus. Yeah, they had surplus. We have to borrow plus. That's the plus. That is the plus. We have to go and borrow plus to meet our commitment. That is what the plus came from. Madam Speaker, and the records are there. The records are there, Madam Speaker, for all and sundry to see. So, some of the dealers say, Christian, we turn a su talk show that onom ka kouye, ka di nou ka mal menage, because nou jwen 60 million dollar excess. Mam Castries East, te a di bet la, le mwen te an opposition, ek mwen we te la, ek mwen di, mwen gade, menm se figure sa la, ek mwen di, we, jodi jou, just pou paye le travaye, payer les noces, les polices, les firemen, les serveurs civils, nous n'y pour prêter l'argent. Et ça pas ni rien pour faire, et ça nous a créé capital project. Il pas ni rien pour faire l'hôpital, et station, et chimé, rien qu'on a. Just to meet our yearly commitments. But that had to happen. Because when our payment moved from $21 million a year, to $158 million to pay loans, you understand. And my friend explained that $158 million, over 100, is in interest. That, Madam Speaker, is what is frightening. So teachers, police officers, firemen, civil servants, I want you to take note. Now, Madam Speaker, how has this administration done? Judge us on performance. In our first year, Madam Speaker, in our first year, line 28, in our first year, we were able to turn this thing around, Madam Speaker. We were able to turn around 6 years of inability to take care of our recurrent expenditure. And all of a sudden, Madam Speaker, we found ourselves with a surplus. We found ourselves with a surplus in the first year. In the first year, Madam Speaker, we had a surplus. You know, this year, Madam Speaker, our bills, recurrent expenditure, is $807 million. And our revenue is about $809 million. Madam Speaker, all I'm asking the civil servants to do is to take note. Look the figures. Should we have to satisfy their demands at this point, we would be going down the trend that the last administration was driving 100 miles an hour on. We don't want to go that route, Madam Speaker. We don't want to go that route. So please be patient. Of course it is the economic crisis. Everyone knows that, Madam Speaker. But I refer to the economic crisis in a while with answers. Madam Speaker, we have also reduced our recurrent expenditure payments. When we got it, it was 22.66%. We have reduced it to 22.07%, Madam Speaker. Yes, we have reduced it. The reality is, Madam Speaker, having brought all of those things to light, Madam Speaker, it shows quite clearly who runs the country of the business more prudently, Madam Speaker. And there is no question. There is no answer. There is but one answer to that question. Yes, you all put us in that mess. You're damn right. You're right.
Mind your language, please.
My humble apologies, Madam Speaker. My humble apologies. I am immensely sorry, St. Lucians of the viewing public. I'm sorry. But, you know, you have succeeded, Mr. Dal, so you have succeeded, member from Pusha. Sorry. Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is clear, Madam Speaker, based on those statistics, which administration is in a better position to run the business of the country. In fact, Madam Speaker, I believe I can safely refer to the last Minister of Finance under the last administration as Minister of Financial Destruction. As if my four-year-old, Madam Speaker, knows that you cannot spend what you don't have. There is a Latin term for it. You cannot give nemo dat non quod habet. But for the last 6 years, we have been spending what we did not have. And we have achieved this, Madam Speaker, despite losing money on diesel, Madam Speaker, and giving the gas dealers, yes, show me the gas dealers again, please. When we assumed office, Madam Speaker, the gas dealers, the chart is there, over the last 10 years, of the life of the St. Lucia Labour Party, the only increment they got was 6 cents. Yes, people of St. Lucia, those are facts. I didn't make them up. The only increase they got in 10 years under the Labour Party was 6 cents. In 2 years and a bit, we have given them 20 cents, Madam Speaker. Those are facts. Those are facts. That there is no conjecture here or speculation. Those are facts. That for the 10-year life of the last administration, the only increase was 6 years, 6 cents. We have given them 20 cents already. And that is despite, Madam Speaker, losing money on diesel. You, Madam Speaker, in 2007, we lost about $674,000 on diesel, subsidizing diesel. Heavily, Madam Speaker. So when you hear about the wastage, when you hear about this, when you hear about that, you ask yourself whether, Madam Speaker, whether that the wastage is something that persons are just thinking about. Madam Speaker, so by now, everyone, Madam Speaker, everyone knows why it was frightening for Richard Frederick to enter politics. And if Brother Rick Wayne would forgive me for depriving him temporarily of his mission statement, I am here to bring the truth to light. I am not speculating, I am not lying, I am not manipulating, I refer to records, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, how did Sweet St. Lucia get itself into that mess? Madam Speaker, the last administration started the tenure by a probe into a road that cost in the region of $30,000. Yes, $30,000. And although $300,000 was allocated for that inquiry, yes, 10 times the amount, there was cost overrun of over 100%, and the inquiry cost taxpayers $613,146.26. The records are there. Yes, Madam Speaker, for $30,000, $30,000, taxpayers had to foot a bill of $613,000. And so, Madam Speaker, the journey of cost overrun began. Yes, it began. Madam Speaker, imagine, les citoyens, who paid the wallet, kini yon sa dolada. Yon sa dolai, me uka pwet, uka bayon nom, yon $1,000. Ou osay, yon $1,000, pou jwen wallet la, kini yon sa dolada. Because ou sa pou ki sa, $1,000 uka bali, ate pa sa ou. Yon sa dolada pe, me uka bayon mil, ou bay 10 fwa. Le fini, idou y vle $2,000. Il voulait 2000. So, Madam Speaker, for $100, taxpayers paid 2,000 and change. But had the money been that, had the money been their own, Madam Speaker, they would not have gone that way. Today, Madam Speaker, I cannot believe that persons find fault in allocating $1 million looking how and whether the expenditure of an extra $130 million was justified. $130 million we're looking for. And Madam Speaker, whilst I patiently await the report of the commissioners, it grieves me to know that about $50 million of taxpayers' money was used to settle a debt of a company that was not privy to the original contract. $3 million spent on beds, $2 million on toilet paper. Mama, what?
Madam Speaker, may I?
Honorable Member for Suffrage.
Madam Speaker, we refrained ourselves from making or imputing anything about Commission of Inquiry for the basic fact that it's under investigation. The report is not out yet. It's a work in progress. I want to urge the member to refrain from making a reference to it, because we refrained ourselves.
Madam Speaker, I accept that point. I accept that point, Madam Speaker, but I believe...
Yes, can I just make while you accept that point, Honorable Member, can I make it quite clear that our standing orders tell us that in debate we must stay away from sub judice matters. See? I would wish all the members to observe that rule. Thank you.
Madam Speaker, and whilst I don't go into the content of the inquiry, and I mean, the exercise was quite elucidating, because for the first time, I know the technique, and I'm not referring to anything, anybody here, the technique to pilfer taxpayers' money is to call an event by several names. So you have a delay fee, prolongation fee, all of it is the same fee, non-performance fee, out of one event. You know, I learned quite a bit, Madam Speaker.
Let's leave the language of the inquiry, even that, out of the this court on the floor right now.
Very well, Madam Speaker. As you please.
Member for Castries East.
Yes, Madam Speaker, I just want to find out, Madam Speaker, the member for Castries East, the Castries Central, he made some pronouncements on the surplus on current accounts, and I just want to clear with him whether he said that there were deficits on current accounts for the years 2001, 2006. Did he say that? Just want to find out, because I'm sorry, I just want whether he said so, or whether we can just whether you can allow us to look at the charts again. Please.
I said that it started in 2001, 2002. In 2001, our projected income was 520 million. We collected 449 million, whereas the expenditure was 494 million.
Yeah. And
it continued after that, where the estimates are showing that the current recurrent revenue was less than the expenditure.
Madam Speaker, I don't want to belabor the fact, but I have a document with me here that says government fiscal operations and is a part of the social and economic review, and it reads as follows. The current account surplus strengthened in the review period for the year 2004, and for the year 2005, it says the current surplus increased from 3.3% to 3.5%. I don't want to make it documents in the House, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to, just so that we can look at the debate in its entirety. Just want to make, and no offense, man. I just want to make a document in the House, because these things, man, these debates are important, especially when you deal with figures. And it's very important because it's our country. Just want to find out whether there was a difference between the Socialist and Economic Review that states there was a surplus in 2004 and there's also a surplus in 2005 with the figures quoted by the honourable member. That's what I want to find out.
Madam Speaker, this morning I had a very cordial chat with the member for Castries East. And one of the things I indicated to him, Madam Speaker, is that he and I would be shown figures and we can extrapolate. I never referred to percentages. I referred to budgetary estimates presented in this Honorable House. He was here for the last 6 years. I spoke of what the recurrent revenue was vis-a-vis the recurrent expenditure. But you have not refuted anything I say there by giving, Madam Speaker, let me proceed. I will make everything available, and then the other speakers can take the points of elucidation. But Madam Speaker, every figure there was supplied by the Ministry of Finance and taken from the economic reviews of the relevant, and they are documents of that.
Shall we continue,
Honourable
Member? And just, members, when you stand, please let me recognize you before you take the floor.
Madam,
tell me what you are standing on, a point of order, a point of elucidation, so that the discourse of the House goes through me. Thank you.
Very well, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, so I was saying we found ourselves in a financial quagmire due, Madam Speaker, to, the ineptitude of the last Minister of Finance. No regard was shown to taxpayers' money, where over $100 million was spent on Rochamel. So now, Madam Speaker, I understand when Gavin Friend said that he got a monkey government to deal with. I know exactly what he meant. Madam Speaker, when we campaigned in 2006, we knew, Madam Speaker.
That's our member. No, member, I don't think you take that line of argument. That because one does it, it's right to do. It is not right to do, and parliamentary reps, please refrain from any matters under investigation.
Sorry, ma'am. Madam Speaker, you see, Those are documents of the House. Those documents are contained in economic reviews, in audit reports, and I've alluded to them earlier. So I don't know why I am muzzled at this point from alluding to material that is contained in documents of the House.
Honourable Member, the documents are under review.
Okay, very well. I stand corrected, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when we campaigned in 2006, I should first ask Madam Speaker, is the audit report, is that under review? I need to ask. The audit report, April 2007, special audit report of the Ministry of Communications and Works. You cannot just tell me, yes, it is. I am referring to this document. You cannot tell me, yes, it is. There are findings in this document, Madam Speaker, which persons must know about. So, Madam Speaker, I refer to this.
Okay, let me just put my guidance. The document is a document of the House.
Yes, it is.
And no, I'm agreeing with you, but I will say that if it contains matters that are under review, keep them. The findings have not been tabled, the report has not come out, let us not refer to them. But certainly you can use the document.
Okay, could you go to document, please? Madam Speaker, let me just make some observations of the auditors. Go to the first page. Okay, just go up on that line for me, please. Here. Go. Can you scroll up, please? Right. Good. Right there. There were major concerns, Madam Speaker, and it goes on to say, to inquire into the effective maintenance of the project, the likelihood of problems, and the completion of the project. You see, well, I'm referring to this. Go up. Go to the top, you'll see which project. I refer to the executive summary of this, the Road Development Program, RDP, East Coast Road. Okay? Madam Speaker, scroll down for me, please. Madam Speaker, go up. It says, go up again, please. Right. It says, Madam Speaker, that they are of the opinion that there was inequity in the use of government funds and about 11 million dollars, which should have been tendered, was approved by variations to contract by the Central Tenders Board. I did not say it. You know, so when I hear about how contracts are being awarded, it really, Madam Speaker, you know, one is forced to ask, what is, you know, where are we getting to? And it says here, Madam Speaker, on page 4, it says here, there was management fees, which could have, of $655,000, which was paid for, which would have been done by government workers. $11 million was spent without proper authority, and money was spent without regard to the economic situation in St. Lucia. I did not say it. It's in there. Go up, scroll up for me 1 second, please. Scroll up. And Madam Speaker, let me just show you this. In summary, scroll up, right up, on page 37, 38, scroll up. Down, sorry. Yeah, go up again, yes. Under that head, Madam Speaker, significant. Yeah, go up. There's a table. Down, sorry. There's a table. Down. You see a table. Good, right. Madam Speaker, that is the table I want to show St. Lucian. I did not make it. It is there. Grand total $74 million. Amount paid $204 million. I did not make the figures. Cost overruns. Madam Speaker, we just got the report. I just got it. It says money spent in excess of what was allocated. Madam Speaker, I'm trying to explain why St. Lucia has found itself in such a financial quagmire. Which one of you would contract the services of anybody? He originally charged you $74,000 to build a house and end up asking you for $204,000. Would you pay him if it were your money? Would you pay him? You know, so Madam Speaker, when we find ourselves, you won't understand, you will not understand. In consultancy, $7 million was allocated, but it cost us $21 million. You don't understand that. For overrun, you don't understand. Can you read, Mr. Dalton?
No.
You know, very well, Member for Soufre. I take it that you can't read, or your eyes are not good. So, Madam Speaker.
Madam.
Honourable Member for Soufre.
Madam Speaker, on a point of elucidation, what is presented there at the top says RLDP project. Now, we know that a big portion of the RLDP project is under review, and I made that point earlier. Now I am seeing RDP one day, and which is under review, and he's making reference to it, although you have won it. So I stood restricted to the dictates of the House. I would like him to do the same.
Honourable Member, maybe I need some clarification here because I thought I saw East Coast Road.
Yeah, the top was East Coast Road, but that one is name of project RDP 1, RDP 2. The total, well, the consultancy, I'm not sure, 7 to 21, but the total was from 74 million.
But Member, if this is referring to a matter under investigation, of which I have given guidelines.
Madam Speaker, you see, I understand what the direction the House is trying to guide me. But Madam Speaker, you must understand that this report existed. I've alluded to it, although I did not see it. I knew it was somewhere. I finally got it. And this is a report of the Budget Office, Madam Speaker, the auditor in this country is mandated by the Constitution to conduct an audit and lay before Parliament. This has been done. So to restrict me, having followed a constitutional guide, Madam Speaker, it baffles me, but I am so guided, I will no longer refer to the $130 million cost over it. I will not. Madam Speaker, let me move into some deeper waters now. Madam Speaker, because of the fluctuation of oil prices on the global market, my ministry, in conjunction with the Ministry of Communications and Works, attended, Madam Speaker, several seminars, several conferences, several meetings, with the hope, Madam Speaker, of finding an alternative energy, source of energy. Madam Speaker, several things we looked at, including wind energy, solar, geothermal exploration, and the possible extraction of oil from our waters. But Madam Speaker, in an attempt at the government to do so, we hit our heads against a wall.
Honourable Member, you have 15 more minutes.
Madam Speaker, can I invoke Standing Order 4210 to ask that the Minister for Central Cultures be given an additional 90 minutes to complete?
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 4210 be invoked to allow Honourable Members, I am speaking. Can I put the motion in silence? Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be evoked to allow Honourable Member for Castries Central an additional 90 minutes to complete his contribution. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, please proceed.
Thank you. So, Madam Speaker, in an attempt, Madam Speaker, at exploring options in relation to energy supplies, Madam Speaker, the government of St. Lucia found itself against a wall. In March 2000, Madam Speaker, it was found out, and I'm in possession of the agreement and can make it a document of the House immediately. Government of St. Lucia found out, Madam Speaker, that the last administration had signed an agreement with RSM, a representative called Greenberg, for oil exploration in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, RSM Production Corporation, a company duly organized under the laws of the state of Texas. I will make this a document of the House. Okay? Now, Madam Speaker, we came upon this agreement in an attempt at exploring other sources of energy. Madam Speaker, page 3 of the document, Article 2, the scope of the agreement, Madam Speaker, and let me just read, it is there. By this agreement, the company is exclusively authorized to carry out exploration operations in the agreement area during the exploration period, and if a commercially exploitable petroleum reservoir is discovered during the period, the company is exclusively authorized to conduct development operations. And it goes on. Madam Speaker, under the agreement, Madam Speaker, under Article 3 of the agreement, page 4, RSM 2, the government, hear this well, Madam Speaker, hear this well, the government grants the company an exploration license covering its interest in the agreement area for an initial period of 4 years from the effective date, subject, however, to force majeure provisions of Article 24. Upon an application duly made by the company, the exploration license shall be renewed for 2 further periods of 2 years each. It goes on. Article 3.2. Subject to Article 27, each development license referred to in Article 8 shall be granted for an initial period of 30 years upon application duly made by the company. Each license shall be renewed for a further period of 20 years. In other words, Madam Speaker, let me explain it, please. In other words, Madam Speaker, the last Minister of Finance tied down Sweet St. Lucia, the waters of Sweet St. Lucia, for 58 years, Madam Speaker. For 58 years. I will go into it. I'm coming. Don't rush me. I'm coming. He tied St. Lucia, the last Minister of Finance, tied down St. Lucian waters for 58 years. The worst thing is to a con artist. I'll explain, Madam Speaker. You couldn't read up there a while ago. Madam Speaker, the program was supposed to have, they were supposed to have initial explorations, and then a well was supposed to have been drilled in 2 years at a cost of $3 million. I don't know if any St. Lucian see any well, oil well being dug anyway. But Madam Speaker, let me move on, Madam Speaker. On page 29 of that agreement, on page 29 of that agreement, it was signed, that signature, Madam Speaker, looked very familiar. That signature looked very familiar. Now, you know what, Madam Speaker? Dr. Kenny Anthony, the then Minister of Finance, no, I'm referring to in an official capacity now, Madam Speaker, not as member. The Minister of Finance then signed this agreement despite his Attorney General asking him not to. A letter is on file, Madam Speaker, asking not to. RSM 4 for me, please. He said, RSM 4, please. Just relax. I have the letter here from the Attorney General Petrus Compton to the then Dr. Kenny Anthony. And it says, I am of the view, having regard to the subject matter of this agreement, St. Lucia would be better served by having a specialist petroleum lawyer review the same and advise. There are matters contained in the agreement which can only be properly appreciated by one familiar with the industry, its standard and practices. That was the advice given to the Honorable Prime Minister by his Attorney General. But he signed. But Madam Speaker, we don't even touch what is bad yet. He signed. So that was the legal advice, Madam Speaker, given to him. In December of 2000, Mr. Greinberg, the CEO of RSM, he was not satisfied with the area of the agreement, the area of exploration. And so, Madam Speaker, he wrote to Dr. Kenny Anthony, asking him to enlarge the exploration area. Give me RM6, please. Madam Speaker, by a letter dated January 29th, look at the letter. I didn't write them, they're coming in. They are coming. By a letter dated June 29th, Madam Speaker. I'll tell you about Mr. Earl Huntley. Let's see who signed that letter, God. Right. Earl Huntley, Permanent Secretary. I'll tell you about that just now. You know, so when people are saying about lavish and ride and this and that, the evidence, the records are there. The letter reads, Dear Mr. Greinberg, reference to your letter of December 13, 2000, regarding the amendment to the agreement in order to enlarge the area of exploration. I am forwarding you two copies signed by the Honorable Prime Minister. So he wanted the area enlarged, Madam Speaker. And after he wrote that letter, give me RM7, please. Dr. Anthony at the time signed an amendment to the agreement to enlarge. Yes, that's the amendment. They said 29th of March 2000. They amended it, Madam Speaker, and show us RM7 to show, RM8, to show the area of St. Lucia. That was the subject matter of this agreement. RSM8, please. Good. All of this, Madam Speaker, I didn't make it up. The point is coming.
Oh, yeah.
St. Lucia was tied down for 58 years. That is the point. What you talk about? Madam Speaker, so that is the area. Now, Madam Speaker, meanwhile, Madam Speaker, had any due diligence been done on Greinberg? Madam Speaker, St. Lucia would not have been tied for 58 years because it was very easy to determine the character of that CEO, Mr. Greinberg. The slightest bit of investigation before the then Honorable Prime Minister signed this agreement, he would have stayed far away from Greinberg. But what? St. Lucia would belong to him now, vantically. Madam Speaker, the slightest bit of investigation would have been useful. Because what this Greinberg man does, he goes throughout the islands, Madam Speaker. He's a speculator. He went to Grenada, Madam Speaker. He went to Grenada, signed an agreement, Madam Speaker. And guess what? Guess what, Madam Speaker? Give me RSM 9, please. Guess what, Madam Speaker, happened in Grenada? Let me just give you all a brief synopsis of what happened in Grenada. And this is an article in the News Summary of Grenada, dated November 11th. I'll read excerpts very quickly. Very, very quickly. Greenberg's activities have landed him in court many times. Interested persons can find out by doing a simple search on the internet. This shows numerous lawsuits by Greenberg and companies against oil companies, government, and government officials. Madam Speaker, in 1999, before we signed this agreement with Greenberg, Grenada was already in trouble with him, Madam Speaker. Until, Madam Speaker, it ended up in court. It ended up in court, Madam Speaker. Now, hear this, Madam Speaker, the last paragraph. RSM has taken the matter to the International Center for the Settlement, second page, Settlement of Investment Disputes. Proceedings are ongoing. The government is represented by Freshfields Bucklers, a well-known international law firm. So, Madam Speaker, hold on. Relax. So, Madam Speaker, Grenada ended up, the decision came out last month that Grenada got out of the agreement but had to foot a bill of $10 million. $10 million. Madam Speaker, our government contacted the same lawyers of Grenada. Yes, we contacted them because we want to get out of the agreement. Give me RSM 10, please. Yes. We contacted them because our hands are tied down for 58 years, thanks to the then Minister of Finance. Madam Speaker, when the lawyers wrote to us, give us the second page. Look at the estimates, Madam Speaker, they have given to St. Lucia to represent us. Yes, go up, yes. Those are, Madam Speaker, I could make everything a document of the House. Go up for me, please. Scroll. Yes, I'll give it to you. Yes. Good. Madam Speaker, the cost estimate for St. Lucia to attempt to get out of this agreement is $2.1 million. $2.1 million. It cost Grenada $10 million EC. This is approximately $6 million EC. So nobody can come here, Madam Speaker, and attempt to explore our waters. Look at right there, 2.1 for $5 million. No one can attempt to do it because Greenberg has a hold on St. Lucia. He has a hold for 58 years. He has a hold for 58 years. Grenada just got out of it. Look at what they're asking taxpayers for the recklessness of a Minister of Financial Destruction. And that, Madam Speaker, can easily escalate to the $10 million mark. Madam Speaker, you know, and those are facts, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you know what is most interesting? Give me RSM 11. Give me RSM 11. RSM 11. Give me RSM 11. I'll tell you which one I want first. And we'll compare them, and we will realize who is bleeding St. Lucia, who is doing injustices to St. Lucia. Give me RSM 6, please, first. That's RSM 6. Right. Show RSM 6. You see who signed that, Madam Speaker? You see who signed on behalf of the people of St. Lucia? Earl Huntley. Give me RSM 11. And that is in 2000. That is in 2000, January 2001. January 2001, Earl Huntley signs on behalf of the people and government of St. Lucia. Go to 11. Go to 11, please. Today, RSM 11. Right. No, RSM 11. That's 6. RSM 11. Thank you. 11. No, you're not. Well, go up. Scroll up. Then scroll up there. Scroll up, please. What's wrong? Is that RSM 11? Scroll up. There's another letter attached to that. Go down. What's holding back? I need to let St. Lucian see who was milking the bull. Right. Go to the first page of that letter for me, please. Yes. We'll see who was milking the bull. No, up. Right. Okay. Right. Good. Come down. No. You're going too fast. You have a center page. There is a center page. Good. Hold on there. His Excellency Stevenson King. Those are the things that were happening. People don't know about. His Excellency dated December 3rd, 2007. His Excellency Stevenson King. And that's from the same Greensburg. Now, he goes on. Dear Prime Minister, in further reference to my letter of October 23rd, 2007, with regard to the above identified license and your conversation with our representative Earl Huntley, the very Earl Huntley who was acting for the government and people of St. Lucia when he was permanent secretary at Foreign Affairs. Today, our representative, go on the last page, please, hold on. Yes, and on the last paragraph, he said, here it goes, I am having my trusted associate, Mr. Earl Huntley, hand deliver this letter to you. Madam Speaker, they were milking the bull.
Madam Speaker.
You know, the same Earl Huntley, those are facts. I didn't make this up. Those are facts.
Madam Speaker, just again, I hate to do it, Madam Speaker, but I must say, it is not fair for the Honourable Minister to accuse a gentleman who cannot defend himself in his order. The standing orders are clear on that issue, Madam Speaker. Mr. Earl Huntley is no longer an employee of the government of St. Lucia. If Mr. Earl Huntley, at the time he was permanent secretary, acted on behalf of a company, there is nothing that says that when Mr. Huntley leaves the government of Lucia, he can't act for the own company. Madam Speaker, please. The member Fakashi Central, he knows better. I mean, it is time, Madam Speaker, we stop it. Leave Mr. Huntley if you want to do your political thing. Do not accuse somebody who can't defend himself. Mr. Huntley has his family. He has his friends. Please.
Madam Speaker, let me just say, none of those documents did I make up. They are part of a record, Madam Speaker, because the government of St. Lucia attempted to explore avenues to secure an alternative source. Okay? And when you see a letter by the same person written in one capacity, and then tomorrow he's asking for the same person who had to invest tens of millions of dollars, we need to ask what was going on. I'm not casting aspersions, but an inference can be drawn. And I will never cast aspersions. Okay?
Having said that, member, can I guide you to move on?
I am moving on.
Fine.
So, Madam Speaker, you know, all I can say is, defenseless St. Lucia, defenseless Helen of the West was being bled. Madam Speaker, in addition to tying down the country for 58 years with a con artist, we attempted, myself and the Minister of Communications and Works, member for Castries Southeast, we attended one of the conferences, was in the Bahamas, where, Madam Speaker, several investors knocked on our doors about the possibility of extraction of energy within the PMA area in Soufré. Madam Speaker, lo and behold, you know, we hit our heads against another wall. There was another agreement, Madam Speaker, signed, document 5, please, by the then Minister of Finance with UNEC. It's a signed document, I know. I'll take it a document of the House. Again, Madam Speaker, document 5. Again, Madam Speaker, that is another agreement signed by the then Minister of Finance without cabinet approval. And you know what, Madam Speaker? All of those things happening in Soufré, Punjab Soufré, the very Soufré that was the subject matter of so many millions of dollars in cost over, and they closed down a hospital and a woman had to die with a baby. But Soufré is not getting its first slice of the cake, I must admit. So, Madam Speaker, this is another agreement signed by the then Minister of Finance. I will not take too long on that, Madam Speaker. But essentially, again, at page five, I didn't make it. The government grants to the operator exclusive rights to explore and drill and to extract resources, whatever. And you know what, Madam Speaker? Signed, written on a signature. Scroll up your signature, please. Yes, good. Oh, you're passing the thing, man. Right. Does that signature look familiar? And Madam Speaker, you will not believe. Go up again, please. You will not believe. Go up. Scroll up, please. That's to get us out of this agreement as well. To get us out of this agreement, we would have to pay a hefty sum. I don't have a concrete figure yet, Madam Speaker, and I will not mislead the House. But again, a company has been given exclusive rights to explore energy in Soufré, thanks to the then Minister of Finance. You know, and all of us are there. Like, we are just there. You know, and Madam Speaker, let me just say, I did not make up those agreements. They were signed. The first one is going to cost us about $10 million. The second, I believe it will even cost more. I believe it will cost more because you had a man who was spending recklessly. And then talk about Kenomics. If that is what Kenomics is about. Lord. So, Madam Speaker, having manifested an attitude to squander, you would have expected, Madam Speaker, that a prudent leader, listen, I want you all to listen well. I'm not blaming none of you for this. After all, they gave you all the praises, Musa, when you'll be lost. I'm not getting after you over that. You're not there yet. But listen.
Remember, you are being...
Sorry, the member from Vivor North. Sometimes call you Vivor South, you know. I don't know if you want to move down there and become, you know, the leader. That would have been better. Madam Speaker, having manifested the spending patterns because the money is not his. And listen to this one, Madam Speaker. Having manifested an attitude to squander, you would believe, Madam Speaker, that a prudent leader in disposing of government assets would seek the best price. From almost the time of its inception, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia, the government and people of St. Lucia own shares in Jalousy. Yes, Soufré again. The government and people of St. Lucia own shares in Jalousy. We have not an hour, but I'll give you the story. Let me give you the story. Madam Speaker, in 2004, the M Group, a foreign-owned company, offered the government, the company, Jalousy was changing hands. The government had shares there already. M Group came in and buy out the government shares. M Group said, I'm buying out Jalousy. I will give you $5 million worth of preferred shares for the shares you have existed. So M Group wrote the Minister of Finance. Yes, he did. He did. You know, at the time, Madam Speaker, the said Jalousy, and those are facts, not spin, facts. The government of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, was owed a lot of money by Jalousy. So when the man came in, he said he will settle all the debts. In addition, he's paying us he's giving us $5 million of preferred shares. Okay, payable over a 5-year period for whatever we had. At that time, the previous owners had owed NIS about $2.7 million. They owed government $194,400 in property tax. They owed $2.16 million outstanding in stamp duty and hotel accommodation tax. Listen well. That money, I will put up the conclusion, you will see that here. Don't worry. In 2004, can you give me document 6, please? Right. On the 21st of June 2004, Madam Speaker,
boy, period. I think I have mine now.
Madam Speaker, in that's correct.
Yes.
Madam Speaker, somebody else intentionally or otherwise deprived me of my property.
Madam Speaker,
Member for Souffre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, since the Honourable Member is putting the documents on the screen, in order for us to better appreciate the veracity of what he is saying, I would very much appreciate to allow us time so we can read the entire document, than he just taking sections out of it to substantiate whatever claims that he's making.
My brother, you have time, you can get all the documents. I think they're here, Madam Speaker. I think they're here. Good. Good. I have them here, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, on the 21st of June 2004, after the M Group wrote the Minister of Finance asking to buy the shares of the government and people of St. Lucia in Jalousy, offered $5 million for the shares, Cabinet took a decision. And like I said, a lot of money is what would be for. Madam Speaker, the Cabinet conclusion is there. And it says that Cabinet agreed to sell the shares for a 5-year promissory note amounting to $5 million, which will be issued to M Group in consideration. It goes on to say the promissory note will have an interest payment of 3%, interest starting the January 1st, 2007, and it goes on. Madam Speaker, the shares, notwithstanding, Cabinet took that decision on June 21st. A subsequent decision was taken in relation to those very shares belonging to the government and people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, the money that was offered by the M Group was 13.5 million EC, the equivalent of 5 million US, and no money was to have been deducted from that money, as is evidenced by that conclusion. Lo and behold, Madam Speaker, about a year later, the shares were no longer sold to the foreign-owned company. Let me speak. But, Madam Speaker, on the 6th of June 2005, can you go, please, document 7. On 6th of June 2005, Madam Speaker, those very shares belonging to the government and people of St. Lucia, to a company that is registered offshore but locally owned. I'll tell you who the shareholders are, and I'll tell you their relations to the former Minister of Finance. I make no bones about the property of the government and people of St. Lucia. When you talk about squandering, that is squandering. So, Madam Speaker, there was another conclusion on the 6th of June 2005 to sell those very shares, please. Yes, those very shares for a locally owned but offshore registered company for much, much less. On the 6th of June, the cabinet of ministers agreed to sell the shares. Now, although,
scroll up,
although, Madam Speaker, good, although it says 3.1 million US, although it says that, go on to page 2. Go on to page 2, please. Go ahead, right, stop there. Madam Speaker, you know, this hurts. This hurts because this is the property of the government and people of St. Lucia. You understand? So, Madam Speaker, they refused the 5 million US in 2004, turn around as evidenced by the cabinet conclusion. Here is, Madam Speaker, accepted almost 2 million US less. But what is interesting, Madam Speaker, is that here is out of the proceeds, the government will reimburse NIS $2.7 million, go up, property tax of $194,000, immediate payment of $2.16 million on outstanding taxes, and the balance, look the balance, $2.2 million EC. $2.2 million EC. So we took the taxpayers' property, sold it, refused an offer of 5 million US, sold it for 2.2 million EC. Guess who is TRMC? A shareholder is the cousin of the former Minister of Finance. A shareholder is the cousin of the former Minister of Finance.
Can I please? Honorable Member.
Madam Speaker, again, I hate to do it.
But
if the minister, the member for Catherine Stenchard, is making, I'm not defending anybody, that's the honor of St. Lucia. Forget about the personal. Talk about the honor of St. People listen to that all over the world. That's the honor of our country. So I have to defend the honor of my country. Madam Speaker, let me explain. Let me ask the minister for a few points of clarification. First of all, the people who he mentioned, the M group, were the original owners of the hotel.
Madam Speaker, let me interject.
But let me finish up, please.
No. If you ask him, you are given an explanation, you had an opportunity to address the House, you have the avenue of two other speakers. No, Madam Speaker.
Yes, Honourable Member, I have given the floor to member from Castries East, so please allow him to continue.
On a point of correction, Madam Speaker, the first company that he mentioned were the original owners of the hotel, and they sold that hotel to the Hilton Group. When that letter came for the purchase of the hotel, it was 2004. We remained a whole, an entire year until 2005. No money was forthcoming. The hotel was either closed or going to be closed or being closed. That was the time government took the decision to sell the hotel to some other owners. So, Madam Speaker, as I'm saying, that is the honor of our country. For short-term political gain, we must not do these things because the whole world is listening to us. You're talking about cabinet conclusions. You're talking about agreements with investors, Madam Speaker. There is a time span. 2004, the original people had the hotel before. They were the original owners. I don't want to mention his name here. Then after then, 2005, when he made an approach to buy it, he could not raise the money. That is when the other deal was struck. Just to clarify things.
Thank you. Member for Catherine Central, your last point on the buyers of the property.
Yes, madam.
In saying that, I want you to be careful with standing orders 35-5, okay? So that you do not impute improper motives to any member, especially in the absence of the member.
Very well, Madam Speaker. You know,
as Minister of Physical Development, I was at a funeral, in fact, driving from the cathedral to the cemetery, when I heard that we are giving contracts to a man who has no experience in construction. But by the same token, a man in Vieux-Fort, who all he had done for his life was sell shoes, became the biggest contractor in the South. But, you know, the shoe is on the other foot. Let me proceed. But, Madam Speaker, I remain steadfast in my assertion that the property of the government and people of St. Lucia was sold for 2.2 million EC. And let anyone refute. In fact, Madam Speaker, I'll give you some details. Now, CRMC Caribbean Inc. recently sold the shares. You know, let me first say, the Minister of Finance under the former administration is on record as saying it was the worst investment government had ever done. But he got it to sell it, though. He got the shares in Jalousie to sell. It was sold for 2.2 million EC. They recently sold it for 20 million EC to the same M Group. And guess what, Madam Speaker? Guess what? Although the shares have been sold and everyone is bleeding St. Lucia, sold for sold for 20 million. Facts. Okay? Government is yet to receive one penny from the sale of those shares. By a letter dated 3rd of April 2008, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Finance wrote to the individual, and I'm guided by you, Honorable Member of Castries East. I will not call the name, but you surely know who it is. The Minister of Finance's cousin. The Ministry of Finance wrote.
Honorable Member.
Madam Speaker, I rise on a point of order. 35, standing order 35, 1, contempt of speeches. And it reads, subject to the provisions of standing order 10, debate upon any motion, bill or amendment shall be relevant to such motion, bill or amendment, and a member shall confine his observations to the subject under discussion. Based on this standing order, Madam Speaker, I wish through you to ask the member to please relate those comments directly to the budget. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
While I take your objection on standing orders content of speeches 35.1, I have been very generous with all members of the House in their contents of speeches, and I have allowed you very generous deviations from the point.
Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker, I've simply said that as Minister of Finance, you give on one hand and you take on another hand. That is why a balance sheet ought to have recurrent expenditure and recurrent revenue. And that is why you have capital expenditure, as you may have revenue from the disposal of capital assets. Can't you? And my point is that in disposing of assets belonging to the government and people of St. Lucia, utmost prudence has to be exercised. So, Madam Speaker, the government and people of St. Lucia are without shares at Jalousie. We have zero shares there now. Those shares have been sold for 7.3 or thereabout million US, which is approximately 20 million EC. And we have not been paid. We have not received a cent. And those are facts. Those are facts, Madam Speaker. You know, I said earlier on, Madam Speaker, the worst thing is the last Minister of Finance, I wish he was there, was on record as saying that that was the worst investment the government had made. But at least a goose got fat on the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, like I said, because we have not received the cent
On the 3rd of April 2008, the Ministry of Finance wrote the individual in question, asking him to pay up. I have copies of the letter, Madam Speaker. He responded by a letter dated April 18th, saying that he will pay by March 31st, 2010. By way of another letter he sent to the Ministry of Finance 3 days later, April 21st, 2008. He again wrote the ministry. This time, Madam Speaker, he differentiated those amounts, the property tax and the hotel accommodation tax. He differentiated them and said in the letter, it was still the responsibility of the developer. And the developer would pay that in September 2010. So his only liability, which can be inferred from the letter, although the shares were sold to him, was 2.2 million EC. 2.2 million EC, our shares. But our shares have been sold to a third party for 20 million EC, and we are yet to receive a penny. Madam Speaker, this cannot be a finer example of financial prostitution of Fairhelen. Everyone gets rich on her back, but she bleeds and cannot pay her debt. Madam Speaker, when I come to address this House, anyone, Madam Speaker, can ask me to substantiate what I say. Because unlike persons this morning, the Honorable Member for Castries East was addressing this Honorable House. What does he say? There's cost overrun in Marigold. You know? Cost overrun in Marigold. Madam Speaker, let me place on record my cabinet colleagues and myself, along with the Prime Minister, we have sat, discussed how people's money is being spent. We are prudent, Madam Speaker. We know where to do the cutting, where to lessen the expenditure. And that is why, for 3 consecutive years, our recurrent revenue exceeds our recurrent expenditure, unlike the 6 years that preceded that 3.
Madam Speaker, on a point of correction, again, the minister is misleading the House, and I'm glad he opened the door. Here I have in front of me the Social Economic Review for the year 2004. And it states on page 57, the current account surplus. The current account surplus strengthened in the review period from the recent trend of deterioration to $69.4 million. The surplus on the current account in 2004 was $69.4 million. Further, Madam Speaker, in 2005, the Social Economic Review, the member again is misleading the House. Here is what it reads. It reads, the current surplus increased from 3.5% from 3.3% to 3.5% of GDP, or $80 million. For both of these years, there were surpluses on the current accounts. And I want to make it these documents a document of the House, Madam Speaker. I'm going to rise on my feet. This morning, the Marigold issue, I withdrew it. I said I withdrew it. Why is he bringing that back here? I did that already. Why are we going back to that old story again? But here is it, Madam Speaker. Don't mislead the House, please. That's not necessary.
Can I just guide the members? If you intend to make documents of the House, please have copies ready for members, so that we can, all of us can have the same information.
Very well, Madam Speaker.
Okay? Member Catchy's Central.
Yes.
Member for Catchy's East has said he withdrew the Marigold remark. So let's move it.
But again, let me just see. You know, I admire the ability of the member for Castries East to kind of, I wouldn't say manipulate, it is too strong a word, but to endeavor to show a fake. Madam Speaker, let us, for all intents and purposes, say I am weighing 230 pounds. I mean, hypothetical here. I lose 100 pounds, so I now weigh 130. Okay? I lose 100 pounds. Hey, guys, I go and see Richard. One man saying, Richard, lose weight. The other one saying, Richard, get weight. Now, when things were really bad, I was 130. I may have gained weight from 130 to 140, but I'm still not at my original 230. So I will leave it at that. It can strengthen from a very weak position. It is still weak. So leave it as that. Leave it as that, Madam Speaker. If my waist size was 36, and let us say my madam was always buying trousers to me, and she knows 36, boom, I go down to 25. Richard passes 25. It goes up again to 28. You can say Richard has put on size. But relative to what I originally wore or what I originally weighed, I am still in a bad position. So member for Castries East, I am guided, but the figures is what I referred to. You never brought the figures. Leave it as that, your friends. Very well. So Madam Speaker, I admire your attempt. But I've told you the records are there. I did not make the records. Madam Speaker, from my observation, I think I have about, how long left, Madam Speaker? No.
You have 35 minutes.
Madam Speaker, at 9 o'clock, I have 15 minutes left. So I should have finished at 9:15.
You should finish at 10:40. I'm looking at...
I have about an hour left.
All right. So I'm looking at this clock, which is where I take my guidance from. You should finish at 10:40.
Very well. I may try and go finish before that, Madam Speaker, because, you know, so much time. Madam Speaker, let me touch on some issues relating to my ministry, Madam Speaker. I may not have time to do everything, but I think I have some messages to send. Now, you know, Madam Speaker, when I referred earlier on, I ask civil servants and I ask teachers to hold on. I want to make, it's a good thing I didn't have to scan that one. Hansard, the Prime Minister's address of 25th September 2001 to this Honorable House. Prime Minister Dr. Kenny Anthony, Tuesday 25th September 2001. I'll tell you what he told the House, Madam Speaker. I'll tell you. First of all, Madam Speaker, after the 911, he met with various trade unions. He indicated that there was a decline in economic activity. He said that banana production had dropped by 42.6% and tourism by 17%. And he went on and on and on, Madam Speaker. The unions asked them to cooperate, Madam Speaker. He also asked them to suspend negotiations for 1 year, and they readily agreed. They met the government negotiating team in August of 2002, and negotiations were concluded in the fiscal year 2003-2004. The civil service, the CSA and the teachers union then accepted for 201-2020, 202-2030, 203-204, 3% and back pay for 201 to 203. He told the CSA and the St. Lucia Teachers Union that the government could not afford to pay increments, and he is prepared to meet in 6 months to review the situation. And he agreed. They agreed. On Tuesday, Madam Speaker, September 25th, 2001, and I'm reading from Hansard. I didn't make it. That's the record. He said, and I quote, the impact of the global recession. Now, the global recession then was 9-1-1, you know. Only America hit. but global recession. Global recession. Madam Speaker, the question is, and I would like everyone to answer that. The trade union is everybody. Let's put our minds to it. Can we say that 9-1-1 was on any scale close to what is happening now? Can we? So, Madam Speaker, he said in this House, the impact of the global recession, the likely aftershocks to our economy of the terrorist attacks on the United States, and the plans of the government to stimulate the economy and manage our affairs during these turbulent times is almost... I have also benefited immeasurably from discussions I shared with all governments' assessment of the performance of the economy, the impact of the global recession, the likely aftershocks to our economy of the terrorist attacks, and the plans for the government to stimulate the economy and manage our affairs. He went on to say, I have been impressed by the commitment to work together, that's nice, in a partnership to ensure unified response and to manage the contraction in the economy. He went on to say, Mr. Speaker, in the course of 2001 estimate, I indicated that the economy of St. Lucia faced a worsening international economic environment, weakening economic performance in OECD states, and serious dislocation in the major productive sectors. Since that statement in March, St. Lucians have watched the deepening of the world recession and the barbaric attacks by terrorists against innocent citizens in New York. He's saying, Madam Speaker, in September, when the 9-1-1 was, that from March, we have watched a deepening situation. He went on to say, with the recent shockwave since September 11th, our worst fears have come to pass. And you know what is very important in this, Madam Speaker? Let me quote here. Furthermore, the government will also place a freeze on all proposals for new traveling posts. In addition, the current policy regarding the granting of increments will be suspended until further notice. Let me read again. That is what he said in the House, you know. Furthermore, the government, and that is unilaterally. So when I hear the very man today saying that a commitment is sacred. A commitment is sacred. And you must keep your commitment. I wonder whether this was Tony and this is Kenny. Whether those are the same two individuals. On the one hand, you're telling us in this House that a commitment to civil servants is sacred. But here it is, unilaterally, like Idi Amin. In addition, the current policy regarding the granting of increments will be suspended until further notice. We didn't ask for suspension until further notice, you know. Now hear that, Madam Speaker. It must be noted that the percentage of expenditure accounted for by wages and salaries would have been much higher in 2000 and 2001 had it not been for the following arrangements. I'm quoting. The freezing on hiring new personnel towards the closing of the year. Deferral of payment increments for 97 and 98 to the fiscal year 2001-2002. Let me read it again. Deferral of payment of increments for 1997-98 to the fiscal year 2001-2002. He asked for 4 years to pay and he got it. I didn't make it. Document facts. Facts, my brothers. You know, today, everyone is going hyper because a couple months is requested. It goes on to say the deferral of the last 1% salary increase in April 2001. So, Madam Speaker, I mean, when the very man who read this in 2001 comes to the House today and say an agreement is sacred, I wonder which mouth is he speaking from. So, Madam Speaker, let me try and round up as quickly as I can. Madam Speaker, let me just touch on some aspects of my ministry. And I have to refer to St. Lucia Solid Waste Management Authority. For the last financial year, Madam Speaker, the authority undertook a number of projects, private sector capacity development, and improved public awareness in participation in used lead acid battery recovery. There was consultation for the development of a beverage containers bill, because the ministry recognizes the need to address the issue of littering caused mainly by beverage containers, and the enactment of such legislation will contribute significantly to addressing the problem. Solid waste improvement and capacity development program in selected communities, and Quedilas, Palmis, Baron Drive in Soufre. Soufre again, we love you, member for Soufre, the community of Le Cléry. And by the way, I heard you mention the houses in Soufre in my absence. Madam Speaker, I wonder if the member from Soufre is an engineer, because houses have just begun, construction has just begun, but he said they are no good. But again, Madam Speaker, I guess he's entitled to his opinion. Madam Speaker, oh, there's nobody from Soufre, so God is not from Soufre. Oh, Flavo. Also, there's nobody from Soufre Labour, that's what
Members,
you're telling me.
Members, can we continue?
I will. I've always told my colleagues on the other side, if there is any activity in which they know I'm involved, knock on my door, I will open the door, I will not discriminate against you, and I'm saying this to you, Honourable Member for Soufre, knock on my door, it will be opened. Okay? And don't attack me in my absence. That's the worst thing to do. Review the institutional arrangements and organizational arrangements for Solid Waste Authority, procurement of waste and solid waste containers. The major challenge of the authority now, Madam Speaker, has been the issue of the management of used tires at the landfill. This is a problem, Madam Speaker. And imagine, I know resources are scarce. I really wanted to beg the Prime Minister for some kind of mechanism, I don't know what he would have given us, to take care of those tires at the landfill. But when I heard him crying at the relevant budget meetings, Madam Speaker, I did not want to add to his sorrow. And that is what prudent thinking is all about, Madam Speaker, because the country at this time could not afford it. Since the breakdown of the two tire shredders, Madam Speaker, the decision was taken to replace them rather than to repair them. The authority has done all within its powers to procure a new one, and the issue remains the greatest priority for the authority, cognizant of the potential impact of mosquito-borne diseases. Madam Speaker, I have written to several donor agencies. I am hoping that one of them, Madam Speaker, would at least listen to my cry and to provide Sweet St. Lucia with a tire shredder. And if the member for Soufre wouldn't mind, it does not cost much, about $3 million. If you are willing to donate it, I shall be indebted to you forever. Madam Speaker, in the physical planning section, the operations include the operations of the DCA, and that needs to be enhanced, the Development Control Authority. They are, Madam Speaker, in the process of being rebranded. Resources will be provided to cause improvements in a number of areas, which will include, but not limited to, the present legislation. It has to be revised, Madam Speaker, to meet the current and future needs of the DCA. And as soon as this is done, the necessary planning regulations will be made to give effect to the provisions of the revised legislation. We need, Madam Speaker, more efficient, effective, and timely information dissemination. And obviously, Madam Speaker, one of the things we need is enhancement of the services at the front desk of the DCA. But sadly, Madam Speaker, we have to operate within the limitation of our resources. The front desk, as it stands, will be enhanced to cause improved service to the public. the DCA says its role as a facilitator instead of a controller of development and will provide what's necessary to ensure the relevant information is disseminated and on time. Some persons may tend to disagree with me, Madam Speaker, but at this time, at this important juncture, we cannot operate as though it's business as usual. Madam Speaker, we need to ensure that we lure investors into our shores to stimulate economic activity by which St. Lucia and its people can benefit. Of course, Madam Speaker, we need improved security and we need the recruitment of necessary staff to assist us in upgrading the DCA. Madam Speaker, whilst we complain that plans may take time to process, responses may take time to be given, we have to operate at skeleton staff, Madam Speaker, and so that sometimes does not augur well for the person who believes that he or she waits an eternity for a response to a developmental application. Madam Speaker, the land registry, they are doing as they can, Madam Speaker, not making too much money. Inland Revenue collects all. We need it, Madam Speaker. After all, we need to get about $178 million to pay our debt annually. It's not easy, Madam Speaker. And let me just say, I needed to have said that, that any increase on the amount we pay annually towards our loan and interest has not been caused by us, but it is because the debt taken by the last Minister of Finance is retiring. Because that debt is retiring, it is reflected in our year, but it is not our doing. Madam Speaker, in my budget address to this Honorable House last year, I outlined a number of activities demonstrating a commitment to environmental management and overall sustainable development. Although many of the targets were not fully realized, Madam Speaker, significant progress has been made. Progress has been made, Madam Speaker, in certain areas. Like I said, we have attempted to explore the production of an alternative source of energy. But at this point, our heads are against the wall unless the government is prepared to get about $20 million to get out of two agreements that were signed without the necessary diligence being done by the last Minister of Finance. Madam Speaker, as it relates to energy, we should not be fooled by the current low prices for petroleum products. These prices, Madam Speaker, will begin to rise again when global demand increases coming out of the financial crisis. Government definitely will continue to its efforts to pursue its sustainable energy goal. In that regard, we will continue to promote the diffusion of wind, solar, and other renewable energy technologies. As appropriate, we will also support new approaches such as the use of biofuel. Subject, of course, again, Madam Speaker, to us getting out of this situation. Madam Speaker, I promised in my last budget address to take steps to realize the development of a wind farm in St. Lucia. Cabinet has already granted approval for Lucilec to acquire, in fact, Cabinet acquired the necessary land for Lucilec, and it is our expectation that Lucilec will move rapidly to establish that wind farm. Madam Speaker, at present, and in keeping with our promise last year, there is at least one solar electric photovoltaic installation already connected to the power grid. By the end of this financial year, we shall have at least three more such installations around the island. Moving towards renewable energies in a big way, Madam Speaker, will require a review of our existing electricity supply legislation. The review will finally be undertaken in this financial year, and the EU Special Framework for 2006 will be part of the broader initiative. Let me just say, Madam Speaker, as it relates to the Electricity Supply Act, Lucilec was granted monopoly over the production of electricity in this country until the year 2045. I thank God, Madam Speaker, that Lucilec recognizes the need to collaborate and essentially to lend favoritism to our proposals insofar as not necessarily loosening the industry, but at least partnering with developers with a view of bringing reprieve to the people of St. Lucia. Finally, in the area of energy, Madam Speaker, in keeping with our promise last year, further steps will be taken to make energy efficient bulbs more affordable and to reduce the demand for and importation of conventional incandescent bulbs. Madam Speaker, the architectural section have done very well this year, and tender documents in that department have been completed for the following projects, and construction work is expected to commence in the first quarter of the following projects: the Grand Rivière Denry Human Resource Development Center, the Bellevue Viewfort Human Resource Development Center, Home for the Elderly in Black Bay in Viewfort, Lafargue Children's Park, Moshi Human Resource Development Center, extension and upgrade of the Denry Fish Fry Project. Design work is ongoing on the following: the Carly Park, we want to transform that, the VG Beach, we are trying to transform that as well, Madam Speaker, the retrofitting of Marshall Community Center, the Grosley Daycare Center, Sunbelt Human Resource Development Center, Moshi Human Resource Development Center, Agard Human Resource Development Center, Chase Garden Human Resource Development Center, and the Local Olympic Committee Office Building in VG. Madam Speaker, let me just touch on housing quickly. The Ministry, under its Housing, Urban Renewal and Local Government portfolio, has a mandated responsibility for the following subject areas: housing research and analysis, housing policy, housing development, urban renewal, national housing program, PROUD program, shelter development program, construction industry training, relocation program, management of local government authorities, management of cemeteries, management of public facilities. Time, Madam Speaker, will not permit me to address on each area individually, but I will seek to touch on the most salient points. Madam Speaker, the Shelter Development Program is a program that seeks to improve the overall quality of life targeted households by facilitating greater access to affordable housing credit, service lots, housing and upgraded facilities in squatter settlements. There are six components to the program, including sites and services revolving fund, settlement and tenantry upgrade, revolving funds and core unit construction. The SSRF identifies sites for low-income housing development in communities such as Moshi and Crestlands in Soufre again, and provides service lots for low-income and lower-middle-income households to allow for price subsidization and good socio-economic development. The proceeds from sale of the service plots are paid into the SSRF and utilized to undertake similar infrastructural works at other sites. The construction of 8 housing units to accommodate an equivalent number of households relocated from Conway to Moshi will be completed during the first quarter of this financial year, with the remaining 12 to be relocated by March 2010. This is through the implementation of the Conway Relocation Project. The resettlement of 73 households and the construction of an equivalent number of units will ensue at Crestlands in Soufre, Phase 2, under the Barron's Drive Relocation Project by March 2010, the fourth quarter of this financial year, and the construction of 140 units by December 2010, the third quarter of 2009-2010 financial year. Currently, Madam Speaker, we have commenced 10 housing units in Crestland under the supervision of the member from Soufre, and the tender process is ongoing for the construction for the first 50 households. The STURF, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, is designed to improve the poor infrastructural and housing conditions prevalent in unplanned settlements, with a critical element of this program being the regularization of land tenure. The scope of activities under this program involves the rationalization of informal settlements, relocation of households, and establishment of mechanisms for the transfer of title to the project beneficiaries. So, Mr. Member for Soufre, I am pleased to inform you that persons who are moved to Crestland will be given title to their property. And so give them the house, give them land, and give them a job.
Yes.
Okay, very well, Mr. Member for Soufre. To reduce the incidence of squatter settlements on public lands, 30 project sites will be regularized by March 2012, with the regularization of 12 having been completed by March 2009 at the following locations: Debara, Pepedou, Ravine Poisson, L'Abbaye, La Richousse, La Tunis, Dermon, PI, Bexon, L'Abbaye, Sarot, and La Richousse. Madam Speaker, my ministry through the NHC is in the process of implementing the following housing projects, which are at varying stages. Marigot. And let me just say on Marigot, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker. You know, I heard so much, I don't know if I should call it foolishness, but I heard so much misinformation on the media about Marigot. In fact, although I was asked not to allude to it, there was a misconception that Marigot had incurred cost overrun. Marigot is four to five months late in order of time of delivery. But Marigot is well within its course, and the delay was not caused by bursting of pipes deliberately to draw $63,000 a day. No costs were incurred for delay. There were no prolongation costs, as is customary. Marigot was delayed because of uncharacteristic inclement weather. That is why Marigot was delayed. So Marigot, yes, because $63,000 a day is okay. Marigot, 116 lots will be made available, but I don't think, Madam, Mr. Speaker, we will be in a position to build on all the lots, as the topography does not lend to buildability. Moshi, 42, Crestlands, 140, Ballambush for the people of Strazel, 285 or thereabouts, St. Jude's, on which we have already started, 292, and Ancillary, 400. Not too long ago, Madam Speaker, I signed an agreement, Mr. Speaker, with Mr. Mark Anthony, I think his name is, I'm not sure of his name now, who intends to finance several of the projects at a total cost of in the region of between 90 and 100 million US, and I believe he is attempting feverishly to access the money from Exim Bank at a very, very low rate, and that money would not be a charge, hopefully, on the consolidated funds. I will develop this country without bringing the country down financially, I promise you. Mr. Speaker, in this year's estimates, a capital of $23 million has been allocated. There are mechanisms, Madam Speaker, to improve access to low-income households, and there is also the intention of pursuing the National Certification and Licensing Authority. The NCLA, Madam Speaker, will function as an umbrella organization responsible for ensuring the ordered and sustainable development of the construction industry. Draft legislation for the constitution of the NCLA has been prepared and is currently being reviewed by the Attorney General's office. The legislation is being targeted to have legal effect and to give the NCLE established and made operational by the end of the third quarter of 2009-2010. Madam Speaker, under urban renewal, the overall policy framework is to direct and guide the sustainable planning and redevelopment, revitalization, regeneration of urban settlements a national policy has been conceived and conceptualized. In local government, Madam Speaker, there seems to be a perception that in some circles, local government, and in particular its current form, in its current form and structure, is obsolete and largely irrelevant given St. Lucia's small size and socio-economic realities. There are those who say that autonomous and elected local government, expansion of the LGA boundaries and increasing the number of LGAs is counterproductive and overly ambitious, opting instead for conservative options. Interestingly, Madam Speaker, the proponents of such a view have been involved in the administration of local government from time immemorial, and their dossiers are replete with countless studies, reports, implementation strategies, policies, and green papers, all to no avail. Let me just say, Madam Speaker, that for the last financial year, three new local government offices were established, or councils were established, in Babuno, Miku South, Denry North, and Viewfort North. In fact, four, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, I stand corrected. It is the intention of the government of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, to establish a local authority council in Bexo. This, Mr. Speaker, would be in the not too distant future. Mr. Speaker, it would be remiss of me if I were to come to this Honorable House and not at least let my constituents know how pleased I am to have been elected by them. I will continue to put my best foot forward, not only in their interest, but in the interest of the people of St. Lucia as well. I believe, Mr. Speaker, had it not been for the people of Castries Central who had reposed their trust in me, I would not have been here today uncovering how the bull is being milked. Mr. Speaker, I have listened time and time again to several criticisms of the Taiwanese government. Let me just say, Mr. Speaker, that I beg to differ from all I've heard about the Taiwanese government. After all, in this difficult economic times, I can say quite candidly, the Taiwanese government has saved the day. Because, Mr. Speaker, had it not been for the reestablishment of the diplomatic ties with the Taiwanese government, whatever monies they place into the coffers of central government and whatever projects they embark upon within the various constituencies, that, Mr. Speaker, would have had to be, the bill would have had to be shouldered by central government. Today, Mr. Speaker, people are feeling the effects of our government without increasing the national debt. Thanks again to the Taiwanese government. Mr. Speaker, in Castries Central, let me just mention a few of the projects that I have embarked upon with the help of my colleagues and, of course, the Taiwanese government. Construction of a new bus shelter at Mondidor, completely refurbished the Rose Hill Community Center, including the change of roof. And as I'm on Rose Hill, let me just say this. As I'm on Rose Hill, you know, there was this gentleman who recently held a dance at the Rose Hill Community Center for one of the residents. You know, he said that he'd be coming against me. But, Madam Speaker, you know, this man fears no one. Yes. Well, I didn't want to go political, colleague, but But, Madam Speaker, you know, some time ago I read the newspapers in St. Lucia. Center spread, bam! Aggressive non-performer. But Madam Speaker, I'll say this. I will say this. Having given the history of a Minister of Finance who depleted the resources of this country, persons of like mind will be attracted to him. So, after running themselves broke, they run their mother broke, and now they want a chance to run the country broke. But I'll tell you this, Madam Speaker, I'll tell you this. When one is in your employ, he's in your employ, you pay him $5,000 a month, but he seeks to have his own receipt book somewhere, and he writes receipts whilst you pay him $5,000 a month. He never thought those receipts would come back to haunt him. But that is one of the show. That will be published in the center spread at the right time. At the right time. Along with other debits from my account. No. I'm waiting for the St. Lucia Labour Party. My good friends, let me make it clear. I have nothing against the Labour Party. I have a problem with squandering, dictatorial squandering is what I call it. That is where my problem is. Mr. Alva Baptiste, I have a lot of respect and regard for. Sorry, the member from Lazi. Member from Lazi.
Member, this is too often. This is too often.
Sorry. Madam Speaker, my humble apologies. You must understand that sometimes I am human and to err is human. I know once is a mistake, twice may just be a second mistake, a third time is deliberate. I don't think I've reached there yet. I would never disrespect the rules of the House. But I was just saying, Madam Speaker, that the member from Lagri, I hold him in high esteem. There's no doubt about that. He's my friend. I shout him on the radio. That's what I would say on the radio, shout him and say, the president of Lagri. You know, I mean, I have no problem. What I do not like is the dictatorial squandering of the nation's money. That is what I don't like, Madam Speaker. So when a man who was in my employ, paying him $5,000 a month, have his own receipt books, his chambers, but my address, my telephone number, my fax number, Lord, and he collecting money outside. But that's another show. That's for center page. That is for center page. Okay, Brother Dalso. You know how this is. So, Madam Speaker, yes, I was talking about the Rose Hill Community Center. You know, come down, high society, pockets of money, this, that, cigar, everything. The only thing they have now is a cigar, because everything gone. But that's for another show. I'm waiting for my dear friends to make the announcement. Madam Speaker, yes, I refurbished the Rose Hill Community Center in its entirety. Today they're using it to host dances. I change the roof and do everything, thanks to the Taiwanese. The government and myself, we have resurfaced the Rose Hill Road, built several footpaths, retaining walls in the Rose Hill community, built a basketball court, Grass Street, New Village. You know, and you know what is nice, Madam Speaker? The Labour Party, they always have meetings at the Castries Market Steps. I have no problem with that. Now, head it. That's the University of Labour. But hey, who fixed the university? When they're on the Market Steps, they look to their right, they'll see how I fix the junction right there of Peña and Jeremy Street. If they look back, they'll see the fish vending facility, which we built right there. If they look slightly to their left, they'll see the new vending facility right on Jeremy Street. If they look forward and slightly to the right, they'll see Bido Park, all within the confines of a small area. And one has the audacity to refer to this district rep as an aggressive non-performer. Madam Speaker, as I said, let me repeat those words. Anyone. We have to put politics aside. And where a man is a performer, give him his kudos. If a man does not perform, give him his licks. Don't look at Richard Frederick in less than 2.5 years. The records are there to show and call me a non-performer. Anyone who does that, Madam Speaker, is either blind, he does not live in this country, is a fool, or his judgment is clouded by his political allegiance. So, Madam Speaker, the record is there to show. The record, night before, when you all had the meeting, was it night before? The Labour Party had a meeting on the Market Steps. Tuesday night, Thursday night. Thank you, Brother Albert. Thank you. Thursday night, they had a meeting on the market steps. And I'm saying right in that vicinity alone, right there alone, to their left. Yeah, I know. They came by my fish vending facility. That's what they did. Right, to their left, right in that little area. And you refer to me as an aggressive non... Yes, the records are there, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, I just want to let my constituents know that some more projects are coming on stream. I want to make a special appeal, Madam Speaker, to the youngsters in the ghetto, so to speak. Madam Speaker, those have been young men who essentially yearn for an opportunity to get themselves in mainstream society, and society kept denying them. All some of them just wanted is to get up to go to work. All they wanted, Madam Speaker, is somebody to make a difference in their lives. I don't have all the answers, Madam Speaker. But when my friend from Castries, he said crime was on the increase, I would have asked him, given the kind of way I operate, show me the statistics. Because the statistics clearly show in Castries, crime has reduced significantly. So, Madam Speaker, like I said, I don't have an indefinite amount of resources. I wish I did. I remember one of the guys coming to me. You know what, I'll call his name in the house. Tiba, what's up with you? I know you're listening. He came to me and he said to me, boss man, you know that wall we built over there? That was so nice. I get enough. I go in and buy a truck of stones. I go in and buy a load of sand. I go in and buy cement. Honestly. And the man yearned for an opportunity for somebody to recognize him. So sometimes, Madam Speaker, when we have our young men going astray, it's not because they want to. Which one of them would go for a hotel security job and they would be embraced? Probably none of them, Madam Speaker. None of them would, because of the stigmatization. I'm appealing to them to just be patient with me. Be patient with me. I will try my utmost. I cannot give everybody everything, but I will try my best as equitably as I possibly can to ensure that I put bread and butter on the tables of those persons who societally have sidelined from time immemorial. Madam Speaker, the roads in Central Castries, and there is this gentleman whose name I'll not call, but every time he meets me at church on a Sunday, he says to me, Minister, my road at VG. Yes, at VG from DBS, coming right down to the Red Cross building. It's in a deplorable state. Madam Speaker, I was mandated by our Prime Minister and the Ministry of Communications and Works to provide them with a list of the roads that needed to have been done, repaired, and myself with some of my, some persons who are not attached to me physically, but some of my political attachments, I must say. We drove the city, Madam Speaker, and we recognized that there were some places in dire need. My friend gives her the name consultant, but you see, when you call her consultant, Madam Speaker, there is a connotation that there is an expense affiliated with it. It's totally gratuitous. So, Madam Speaker, we went through the constituency, and that road at VG is on my mind. The Leslieland Road, there is a big, big hole somewhere going up to C's Restaurant. At the top of Lastic Hill, going to the convent, lower Jabati Street, and essentially all the urban roads. I am hoping that next financial year, we can put some work on the ground as an allocation has been made for the roads in urban Castries. I will not be able to do everything this financial year. I'm hoping as well this financial year to get some work done in the sub, as I indicated to you, Mr. Prime Minister, put some proper drainage there, and probably be in a little bridge that is motorable to cross from the highway into the sub. So, Madam Speaker, I will end. But let me just say, I want to end on this. On the word, I want to use Barack Obama's words, Madam Speaker, and turn them around slightly. the very minister of financial destruction, who claimed that he is ready to lead again, is the very one who placed the country in a financial quagmire and added almost $1.2 billion to our national debt.
Minister, let me ask you not to, again, impute improper motives. You spoke about a minister of financial destruction. I don't know that there is any ministerial portfolio that's named.
Well, Madam Speaker, that is why it does not refer to anyone in this Honorable House.
If he doesn't refer to anybody in this Honorable House?
Okay.
Please.
Okay, Madam Speaker, it's one thing, though, I'm a properly opacity, I listen and I hear. Madam Speaker, I am so guided.
Okay.
The very Minister of Finance, who claims that he is ready to lead again, is the very one who presided over the affairs of the country, run the country into a financial quagmire, and added $1.2 billion to our national debt. He has no